Well, you know, a lot of times when you think about the Old Testament, we think sometimes about the law, because that was a big part of it. We're seeing it on Sunday morning that the nation of Israel is coming out of Egypt, and they're going to go down to Mount Sinai, and at Mount Sinai, they're going to get the law, and that's what set them apart. And a lot of times, when you think about the nation of Israel, they were under the law system, and it was the standards given by God. But some things changed, because sometimes, as time went by, man began to add to God's laws. A lot of those religious people, a lot of those Jewish people began to add to it. And they took some oral laws, and then they became written. And by the time of Jesus Christ, there was a whole legalistic system that the Pharisees and the scribes had put together, which were not biblical, but it was what a lot of people followed. One area, as you remember, was the Sabbath day. And the Bible basically said that you're not to really basically work on the Sabbath. That's for the Jewish people, that would be Saturday. But they've made up all kind of rules, and I think one of the rules that I always remember as I did study on the ridiculous things that they put, one of them was a mirror. And on the Sabbath day, under their rules, a woman could not look in the mirror on a Sabbath day. Now, a man could, but not a woman. And they said, why? Well, because if a woman looked in the mirror on the Sabbath day, she might see something she thinks needed correcting. And for her to correct it under that ritualistic system would be working. And so she couldn't do that. Now, a man, they look at the mirror and they go, yeah. And they go on, right? And so they said, it's okay for a man to look at a mirror on the Sabbath day, but it wasn't okay for a woman. James uses this illustration about the mirror and how a man looks in the mirror different from a woman. And it says, he talks about a man looking in the mirror and then going away and forgetting what he saw, in the same way that a person looks into the Word of God and then goes away and forgets what they know and doesn't live it out. So we're going to see that. So the challenge, as he says in James, is be a doer and not just a hearer. And we're going to see that as we go through. Remember I said a while ago that the book breaks down based on James 1:19? If you have, of course, the book of James, look at verse 19. It says, this you know, my beloved brethren, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. What we find is the quick to hear basically covers the last part of chapter 1 and all of chapter 2. Then we find that the slow to speak is all of chapter 3, and the slow to anger is chapters 4 and 5. I have an outline of the book of James for you. It's right up here, and I'm afraid this overhead is not big enough that you can read it. But if you notice, starting in chapter 1, 19 through 2, 26, it's swift to hear. Chapter 3, 1 through 18 is slow to speak. And chapter 4, 1 through 5, 20, the end of the book, is slow to wrath. That's how the book breaks down. So we're really in the section now, starting tonight, the section about being quick to hear, being quick to take in God's Word and apply it in our lives. So there's a lot there. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to take, beginning about verse 21, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter. So James chapter 1, verse 21, the end of the chapter, and we're going to break it down this way. He gives the charge to receive the Word, be a doer, not just a hearer, and he gives an illustration. And then he ends the chapter by talking about what true religion is, and we'll talk about what he means. So let's start. He's saying, let's be quick to hear. Quick to hear the Word. Know the Word and apply it in our lives. And remember that when we talk about quick to hear, it doesn't just mean that you will hear what it says. The implication is to apply it. And I think that's one of the goals of our church. You remember we talk about the study of the Bible. And a lot of times when people think about our church, or we talk about our church, we say, oh, our goal, you know, we want to study the Bible and teach it. That's true. But the ultimate goal is to study it, teach it, and apply it. That's the key. We want to know what it has to say. Look at verse 21. We saw this one last week, and that's where how we ended, but I want you to see it. Here's the charge, and he's talking about living out the Word, being a hearer of the Word, and then a doer as well, and he ties it together. Look what he says in verse 21. He said, therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. In humility, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your soul. So he starts off by saying, you need to receive the Word of God. That's taking it in, being quick to hear. Now, he gives a negative and a positive, and the negative is what to get away, and the positive is what to do. The negative is to put away filthiness and sin. The positive is to receive the Word of God. Look what he says. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility you receive the Word, which is implanted. That's the implanted Word. The first thing is to put away filthiness. Wickedness. He's basically saying, lay aside anything that's going to slow you down. We talked last time about the book of Hebrews, where the writer says, seeing we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. The Greek word really means to take off your clothes. It means to take off like your jacket and move it aside. Paul uses the same analogy. He says, take off the old, put on the new. The truth is, you cannot grow as a believer with sin in your life. Sin blocks your growth. It blocks your fellowship with God. There's rebellion. And so he says, listen, the first thing you need to do is make sure you put aside sin, anything that's stopping you, anything that's not going to help you to grow. Whenever we have sin in our life, the fellowship with God is broken, the fellowship with other believers is broken. And so he says, remove that. Then he gets to the positive. Therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Now here's the positive. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. He said, listen, in the opposite, when you get rid of the stuff that's going to slow you down, you receive the stuff that's going to help you grow, and that is the Word of God. He calls it the implanted Word of God, and he's meaning God's Word that he has given to you. And we know that the Word that he has given to us is God's perfect Word in a written form, which they begin to put together by the time. James, of course, probably the first book written, first letter written in probably in the New Testament. And so he's talking about the Word of God, which God has given. Notice the part of the verse that we mentioned last week that some people are confused on. He says, the word which is implanted, which is able to save your souls. And remember I told you this, whenever you see save your soul, it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about a physical deliverance. And most of the time when he uses it, he's talking about either save you from discipline or save you from physical death. At the very end of the book of James, he's talking about save a soul from death, and he's talking about a physical deliverance. He says, if you live out the Word of God, which is implanted in you, you're able to save your soul so that you won't be disciplined, in a sense, and that you will grow, and you may not die physically. The truth is, you live contrary to the Word of God, you're going to put yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's what it boils down to, and you can get yourself in trouble. He says it'll save your soul. So the charge, put away the sin, take in the Word. Listen to what Spurgeon said. He said, we would be able to teach others and less likely to be carried away by false teaching if we have a good understanding of the Word of God. Now, James goes beyond just understanding the Word of God. He's talking about making application. A man named Jeffrey Thomas said this. He said, to be able to overcome temptation when there's nobody else around, and to be ready to give an answer, and to endure the trials of life, we must have daily exposure to the Word of God. So the bottom line is, he starts off by saying, you know, we need to be taken in the God's Word. If we're going to be quick to hear, it means take in the truths of God's Word and apply it in our lives. And we're going to talk more about it when he gets to verse 22. He talks about being a doer, and we'll talk about that. The challenge is getting God's Word. Now, here's the key. There are a lot of us, every day, we get the Word of God. The question is, what do you do with it? In our church, you can get God's Word in Sunday morning, and in Sunday school, and in Sunday night, and in Wednesday night, and in a 4:12, or in a 2:2, or in a CBI, or in a small group Bible study. You can get it all the time. The question is, what do you do with it? That's why James says in verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the Word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. He said, what you need to do when he says prove, that Greek word means to show yourself to be a doer and not just a hearer. He's saying, listen, you need to live out what you know. Now, how do you get to be a hearer? Well, you hear it as you study it, whether it's a personal Bible study, whether it's a small group, whether it's church, but there's more to it. It is more than just being a hearer of saying, I heard the truth. He says you be a doer of the words and not just a hearer only. That's why Ezra, if you remember, Ezra purposed in his heart that he would study the Word of God, that he would do what? Practice it and then teach it. Ezra didn't just say, my goal is to know the Bible. And sometimes we think our goal is to know the Bible. Well, it's great to know the Bible, but the goal is not just to know the Bible, it is to know it and apply it. It is easy to be fooled into thinking that we've done good because we heard the truth. Prof. Hendricks says, what is the goal of the study of the Word of God? And you've heard me say it many times. What is the goal of the study of the Word of God? What is it? Is it knowledge? What is it? It's application, isn't it? The goal of the study of the Bible is to apply it. It is not just to know it, because knowledge by itself does what? Puffs up. That's exactly right. And so he says, look, prove yourself. Show yourself to be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer who deludes themselves. we can delude ourselves thinking, I heard it. I heard this truth. I heard the book of Exodus. I heard this. I got this. I read this. I listened to Swindoll on the radio. I heard this stuff. He says, listen, you got to be a doer, not just a hearer, because just a hearer deludes yourself. There are a lot of people who think they're gaining because their goal is to know it. I think when I first started growing as a Christian, I really thought the goal was to know the Scripture. I spent a lot of time studying the Bible. But the ultimate goal is not just to know it. It's to what? It's to apply it. That's the bottom line. That's why he says you got to prove yourself to be a doer, not just a hearer who deludes themselves. If hearing is never transformed into doing, that's self-deception. Warren Wiersbe said this, listen. Many people have the mistaken idea that hearing a good sermon or a Bible study makes them grow. It's not the hearing, but the doing of the hearing. Chuck Swindoll said, God isn't looking for doers who don't know the Word or knowers who don't do the Word. We're looking for knowing doers. That's what we're looking for, those who know it and those who do it. Be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. Now, he's going to give an illustration. And it's in verses 24 and 25. And it's about a man and a mirror. Look what he says in verse 23. Verse 23 says, for anyone who is a hearer of a word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately has forgotten what kind of person he was. He says, you know, a man goes to the mirror and he goes, and they're gone. He says, now men, when we go look in the mirror, we just take a glance. We see it, and then we turn around and forget what we saw. I had a friend who said he counts it as a blessing that he forgets what he looks like. The guy, he says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like the guy who looks in the mirror and immediately has forgotten what he saw. It's like the person who hears the truth of the Bible and immediately forgets it. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't remember what it said. It means he's not living it out. Because we all can say, well, I know what the Bible says there. The question is, are we living out what the Bible says there? And so he says, a guy who's just a hearer and not a doer is just like a guy who goes, looks himself in the mirror and then forgets what he saw. It's just like a person who goes to the Word of God and forgets. It doesn't really make a difference. You ready for this statistic? George Barna. You know, George Barna is the guy that does all of the, he does all these surveys and he asks people questions. Here's what he found. He found that a large majority say, and this is how they phrase it, they say religion is very important to them, but that same group of people, a large percent of them are not a part of any church, and they say that the reading of the Word does not enhance their lives. So there are a bunch of people that if you said to them, is Christianity, now they use the word religion, but we might say, is Christianity important to you? And they'd say, it's very important to me. Do you go to church? Hardly ever. Do you ever read the Bible? No, it doesn't make that much of an impact for me. Don't even answer. How often do you read the Scripture? How much of the Scripture are you reading? How much of it are you putting in your mind? And then from what you do have learned and studied, how much of that are we actually living out? If I would only live out what I know, because I've studied this a long time, y'all. I mean, just from being here, I've been here almost 16 years, but I mean, I've been really studying the Bible day in and day out and verse by verse and all that ever since about 1975, 76. That's a long time. I've studied a lot of books more than once. But the question is, am I living out daily what I know from the Scripture? Well, as Prof. Hendricks would say, let's move on. That's too convicting. And we will. He says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like the man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and once he's looked at it, he's gone away. He's immediately forgotten what kind of person that he is. It's easy to have notes, Bible studies, books, information, clipboards, file folders, everything. We got all this information, and especially at a church like ours, which is a Bible teaching church, it's easy to have all the information, be a knower, but not being a doer. It's very easy. Then he gives the contrast. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Now here's the contrast. The contrast is, first, here's a man who looks into the mirror, forgets exactly what he saw. That's the same as the person who is a hearer, but not a doer. He looks into the Word of God, and he forgets. Now he says, here's the contrast though. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and notice, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, you just forget what you heard, but an effectual doer, you are effectively doing what you know, this man will be blessed. And so he says, here's the contrast. There's the person who looks intently into the Word of God. To look intently, that Greek word means to dig. It means to go to the truth. And he calls it the law of liberty. And he's talking about the Word of God which sets you free. That's how he called it that way. And sometimes James used the term, and he doesn't mean like the Mosaic law or anything like that. He calls it the perfect law of liberty, and that is the Word of God that sets you free. And he says the person who looks at the Word of God that sets you free and digs it, and this word doesn't mean to glance at it. Remember, he's using the contrast. The man goes to the mirror and glances and walks away, and he forgets it. The person goes to the Word of God, and he glances and he walks away, and he forgets it. He said, no. This is the person who digs it. This is the person who really looks into the perfect law of liberty, looks intently. And that word means to dig it. It was the word used to dig for gold, or to seek out, try to find an animal, hunt down an animal. You know, you're looking everywhere. That was the word. Notice the key. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it. This is the question for all of us in this room. Are we abiding by the Word of God? Do we live our lives based on the Scripture? It's easy to know it. The hard part is to live it out. Because any of us can know it. We can study it. We can put it in our brains. We can memorize it. The question is, are we living by the Scripture? That's the key. And so he says, the person who looks intently and abides by it, and then he makes that contrast, not having become a forgetful hearer. You're not a forgetful hearer. You don't just hear it and forget it, but an effectual doer. That person's going to be blessed in what he does. There is freedom and blessing from the Word of God. That's why it's called the law of liberty, and that's why it says you'll be blessed in what you do. The truth is, Greg is teaching Proverbs on the CBI. When you go to the Proverbs and you go to the Bible and you go to the wisdom literature and you go to the truths and the principles of God's Word, if you live your life based on that, if you abide in that, you're going to be blessed. It's wisdom literature. Blessed is the man who does this. Cursed is the man who does this. The wise man does this. The foolish man does this. And the truth is, if you live by the Scripture, there's going to be blessing. And so the Bible is very powerful. We want to be effectual doers, not forgetful hearers. It's just that simple. So it's pretty powerful there. I think in our church, if you come consistently, you can be a hearer of the Word. You can know the Word of God. You can begin to put truths in your mind, and you can say, I know what that's about, and I know what this is about, and I know how Exodus fits together. I know Ephesians. I know this. I know the book of James on Wednesday nights. I'm looking at the book of Daniel. You can begin to put all that together. The question then comes, what are we doing with the truths that we are knowing? Are we effectual doers or forgetful knowers? And that's what he talks about. We have to know it and then apply it. Now, from there, he gets very practical, and he says, let's talk about religion. And he's talking about what we would say is true religion. He's saying living righteously as a believer. He says this: if anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet he does not bridle his tongue, but he deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Now, this is pure and undefiled religion. If you want to know what real religion is, he says, in the sight of our God and Father, it is to visit the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself, unstained by the world. Now, he gets really practical in these two verses. He's been theoretical up to this point. He said, you know, what you really want to do is you want to study the Word of God. You want to look at it intently. You want to make application in your life. You want to abide by it, and you'll be blessed. He said, don't be like the person who just glances at it and forgets it. That's like the guy who looks in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. You need to go and look intently in the Word of God and make application of it so you can live it out and be blessed. He said, that's why you need to prove yourself to be a doer and not just a hearer. Now from that he says, now, you want to see how this stuff's lived out? You want to get very practical? That's what he's going to say. Well, if anyone thinks he's religious, and he's using religious in a good word. We usually use religion as a bad word. I use religion as man trying to please God. James doesn't use it this way in this passage. He uses religion as living according to God's word. He says, now, if anyone thinks you're religious, if you think you're living right, and yet you don't bridle your tongue, you deceive your own heart. This man's religion is worthless. He says, it's not working. It's almost like we're going to see in James 2, where he says, if you don't live it out, it's not working. Now, the first thing that he says, and he says it from the negative, he says, if you don't bridle your tongue, you could turn it around positively and say, if you want to do what's right, you will bridle your tongue. Now, he's going to spend a whole chapter on this tongue thing. I mean, he's going to get to chapter 3, and he's going to talk about being slow to speak. But he mentions this right here. If anybody thinks they're really religious, if they really think they're doing what's right, yet you don't bridle your tongue, you're just deceiving your own heart, and your religion is worthless. Let's talk for a minute about the tongue. You know, when we get to chapter 3, he's going to talk about how powerful the tongue is, and that you can tame every animal that's ever been tamed, but not the tongue. And the tongue is a little bitty, but it's so powerful, it sets things afire. He says, from the mouth and the tongue, there can be good things come out. From the mouth and the tongue can be bad things. He says, with the same tongue, we curse and bless at the same time. He said, these things ought not be. So we've got to be careful on the tongue. He says, so the first thing, if you want to live righteously, he says, you better watch your tongue. You better bridle your tongue. I saw something the other day. I thought it was pretty neat. A little poem about the tongue. And it said this, a careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. I think sometimes people forget how powerful our words are. We talked about this last week when we looked at quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I can remember in my life, right this second, I can remember the good and the bad of the tongue. I can remember, as far back as you want me to go back, people have said about me that was good. I can remember it. I can also remember, as far back as you want me to go back, what people said about me that was bad. The tongue cuts right to the... Oh, it just rips you to shreds. That means that what you say about people, what you say to people, can either tear them up or build them up. And one of the things that we want to do in the Scripture is we want to build one another up. We want to take the gifts, talents, abilities, tongues, words, and we want to be edifying and building each other up. There are some of you in this room that you have written things to me, you have said things to me that have built me up, that made me, I'll always remember them. I'll remember them. There have been times in my life that people have said things. I'll never forget those either. It's what the tongue does. And so he says, if you want to be careful, you better bridle your tongue, because the tongue is a dangerous thing. Because the truth is, would you say that you mostly build up or do you tear down? It is a natural tendency of all of us not to say the things that always build up, but to say the things that tear down. To always try to find the fault, to look for the things we don't like, to say the things we don't like. We have to be careful. That's why James says, you want to live it out right? First thing you need to do is bridle your tongue. Watch what you say. There's a second thing. And in fact, there's two more things, and that's found in verse 27. He said, you know, this is pure and undefiled religion. If you want to know what really is good in the sight of our God and Father, well, you do two things. You visit the widows and orphans, and number two, you keep yourself unstained by the world. So it is to help the helpless, the widows and the orphans, and to be unspotted or unstained from the world. Let's talk about it for a minute. Who are we supposed to help? You know, the Bible talks about helping the helpless. And the two helpless ones he lists there are those who don't have any parents and those who don't have a husband, the widows and the orphans. That's what he talks about. You know, if you read in the Old Testament, God is the defender of the helpless, and God is the defender of the widows. And he says, you better not move this is in the Old Testament, he says, you better not move the boundary stone on a widow's property where she can't defend herself. Go out there and take some of her land away. He says, you be careful, because God will defend her. This passage says, you really want to do what God wants you to do is you take care of the helpless people. Psalm 68:5 says, God will defend. Now, I want to just throw something out for just a second. We know that there are people who are orphans that we are to help if we can, especially if there's a way to, and we have a part and opportunity to do that. What about the widows? I have heard people say that all widows are supposed to be taken care of by the church. That's not accurate. The Bible says that there are two kinds of widows. There's the widow and the widow indeed. You'll find this in 1 Timothy chapter 5. The widow is a person, is a woman who has lost her husband, but she has family. Biblically speaking, the widow who has family, it is the responsibility of the family to take care of the widow. Then you have what is called the widow indeed. That's how he calls it. And that is a woman who has lost her husband and has no family to take care of her. Now, the natural assumption is any widow who does not have family to take care of her is to be supported by the church. That's not accurate either. Paul tells Timothy that only those who have been faithful saints, who have lived righteously and godly. So not just any widow who doesn't have family is to be helped by the local body, but those who have faithfully served Jesus Christ. So he says, you know what you want to do if you really want to show the true religion, you might say, it is to first visit. And the word visit the orphans and widows, it doesn't mean to go by their house and go, how y'all doing? It means to take care of them. That's what visit means there. But there's one final thing he throws out. He says, the other thing is you need to keep yourself unstained by the world. Where do we live? In the world, but we're not of the world. I read something the other day that Christians should be the one who's right side up in an upside down world. We're not to be stained by the world. I think there are three things on how you get stained by this world. Number one is that it's going to be found in James 4:4. It says friendship with the world. Friendship with the world means that you're involved in the same things that the world is in. Be careful. There's a second thing in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, which it says, loving the world. Loving the world means you want exactly the same thing that the world wants. And then there's a third thing, which is found in Romans 12:2, where it says, being conformed to the world. That means being the same as the world. So you have to be careful, because you can have friendship, being involved in the same things as the world. You can love the world, want the same things as the world, and you can be conformed to the world, which means you become like the world. And he says, if you really want to be careful, you keep yourself unspotted or unstained by the world. You know how you do that? You know the Word of God. You live it out in your life. You invest your life not in the temporary world, but in the eternal things of God. That's how it happens. We have to do that. Yeah, it says Christians are to live in the world, not let the world live in them. I think about the world sometimes because it is pretty powerful pull. I mean, the world says, you know, don't you want this? And don't you want to be like this? And don't you want these things? And I think one thing we have to do as believers, number one, is we have to remember we're supposed to be different from the world. We've got to be lights in the midst of a fallen and perverse generation. But the second thing is the world's just temporary. The things in this world, we're just passing through. It's a temporary thing. Let's don't invest our lives in things that are going to all burn up, but invest our lives in the eternal thing. So he says, listen, don't just hear it, do it. And practically speaking, bridle your tongue, provide for the widows and the orphans, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. So with that in mind, what have we seen? We've seen the charge. Don't just be a doer. I mean, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. He says, put away sin, receive the word of God, the results will be freedom and blessing. He said, true religion is to watch your tongue, take care of the helpless, and keep yourself unstained from this world. Let me give you a couple of applications. We'll open up for questions. But the first one is, obviously, let's be a doer of the word. Let's do it. Let's be a doer. Know and apply the scripture. Take the time to hear it and then act upon what you know. I guarantee you, all of us in this room know much more than we apply. We all do. Well, the goal is to apply what we know. There's a couple of things that might help us. Number one, remove anything that's going to stop you from growing. That's what he said back in verse 21, where he said, put aside all filthiness and remove anything that's going to stop you. You cannot lift anyone to a higher level than you are already on. So lay aside and grow, and then apply the truth so you can be a doer. That is the key. Be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. There will be freedom and blessing as you serve and live and grow. So the first thing is you got to be a doer. We hear it, and then we do it. The second aspect of found in this passage, I think, is the practical thing of what true religion is. It's watching our tongues, helping the helpless, and keeping unspotted. So we got to watch our tongue. There's going to be a lot in chapter 3, so we don't have to talk about it now. But I'll tell you what, there are things that have come out of my mouth that I've regretted to this very day. Things that I've said about somebody that was a wrong thing and a bad thing to say. And then there have been times that words come out of my mouth to build somebody up. That's what ought to be coming out. So bridle our tongues. Second is help the helpless. There are those without families. There are those who need our help. There's an old saying that says it's better to be a Christian and it's good to be a Christian and know it. It's better to be a Christian and show it. And so he says, live out what you know. I think the last thing is don't be spotted by this world. It is so easy to let this world pull you. All you have to do is turn on television. And then you'll be attracted to what's there. You'll be attracted to all the things they're trying to offer you. You'll be slowly, over time, you'll buy into the world view that comes through the television, through the media, and through our culture. You got to be careful. You got to keep yourself unspotted from that sort of stuff. Be a doer of the word. Live it out. Touch lives for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We'll open up for questions. Heavenly Father, when we think about this passage, there's so much here. And you tell us, listen, first of all, put aside anything that's going to slow us down. And then be a doer of the word of God. Not just a hearer. Lord, may we do that. May we take your truth. May we know it. And then may we live it out. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that we have in this church to be knowers of the word, that we can go and we can study and we can grow. But Lord, I pray for myself and each one that we will be doers, not just knowers. And Lord, then we think about the whole aspect of practically living out our faith. And just in this passage, Lord, you tell us to watch what we say, to take care of the helpless, and to live in such a way that the world will not spot us or stain us. And Lord, I pray that for myself and for each one, that we will watch what we say, we will build up and not tear down, that we will help those who are helpless, and that we will live in such a way that we will be not conformed to this world, but be transformed from the inside out by your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.